lupi e procelle, non vol tragino mai la carapace, né giungia prova parve nostro rapace.
Thank you. morning, everyone, and welcome to St. James. So this morning, I've decided to leave the lights off because it gives us a psychological feeling of being a little bit cooler, and that works for me. It's a very warm day out there, but it's wonderful that we can gather in here and our hearts can be equally as warm and uplifted. Today, Steve is somewhere in the States playing a Jeans and Classics concert, so we've got an incredible trio of musicians that will be taking us through the service. So now you guys need to earn that applause. But with that, welcome. Let's take a moment to center ourselves in this place and in this space and in this time and recognize that we are entering before the throne of Almighty God, that we are entering into God's presence. And what we do here has meaning and is important. Would the congregation please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy and glorify your holy name.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. May we find peace in your service, and in the world to come, see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
King Herod heard of Jesus and his disciples, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet to his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately, she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath, and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, that's a super fun reading, isn't it? It's interesting. Every time in the lectionary the story of John the Baptist comes up, I try to find some new take on it. And so I've done things like saying how Herod's comment about, I'll give you anything you ask for, up to half of my kingdom, is a direct parallel to the story in Esther. I've done things about how we should be careful what you ask for because you might just get it. I've done a number of things. But what I was struck by this year was not just that reading on its own, but how it paired with our first reading. You see, there is a real thing in the gospel reading about be careful what you promise. Make sure that what you offer, you're willing to see through because you never know, it might just happen. That's a good message. The thing that Herod does is offer this promise to his daughter, that familiar relationship. He probably wouldn't have offered that to just anyone. And so with that idea of being careful what you offer, I'm forced to reflect on our first reading in which God offers us participation in his family. We are heirs of his divinity through Christ. We're invited in to be adopted children of God. And so the message that I would normally give this congregation of be careful what you're offering, I can't offer to God because God has done something radical and has said, I offer you my entire kingdom. In scripture we hear, ask whatever you wish in my name and it will be granted unto you. Now, if I was the board of director over the highest heavens, I'd say, be careful what you offer, God. Someone might just take you up on it. But thank goodness God knows more than I do. God's offer to us
is to ask whatever we will in his name, and it will be granted to us. And so then the onus, the responsibility then lands on our shoulders to be careful what we ask for. In one of the most foundational prayers that we have, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, "Teach us to pray," the prayer says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yesterday in the States, we saw what happens when someone wants to take the will of the political realm into their own hands and step beyond law and beyond reason and beyond justice. So often in our own lives, we try to control the things around us. We say to God, "Would you just give us this thing? Could you just make it this way?" But for a deep spirituality, we must always land on those words of the Lord's Prayer. "Thy will be done, not mine." This is a hard thing to do, and it takes much effort and much soul-searching and much spiritual insight to listen to what God is doing in the world around us and to ask that we be a part of it, not that God conforms to our will and does things in our way, in the way that we want them. Rather, that we fit into God's plan somehow, in some way. Some of my favorite spiritual mystics have said that the most important prayer that we can offer is to sit silently and to listen to what God is doing around us. Some churches, especially in the monastic community, have long periods of silence as the congregation come in. In Toronto, the Sisters of St. John the Divine eat their meals in utter silence. So the only thing you hear is the clinking of plates. There is a real sense that it is the work of a Christian person, the work of a church, to listen to what God is saying. And we know that we don't hear God in whirlwinds or fires or earthquakes or political assassination attempts or you name it. We hear God in the still, small voice, in the silences. And when we accept that God is moving and God is doing things among us and around us, we can let God act through us. One of the reasons that I like to wear the robes isn't because I think they're fancy, although I do. One of the reasons is because anyone who stands up here can wear these robes. This stole belongs to the parish, and so any priest could wear this. It's not about making me look special, but it's about letting me be a vessel through which God might act if he wants to. And I think that's true for all of us. I'm not the only priest in the congregation today, and I'm not just talking about the retired or the honorary assistants or the ordinands. All of us are priests, ministers of the gospel, taking the good news of Jesus out with us into the world in which we find ourselves. And those might be wonderful, joyous opportunities like celebrating a 60th wedding anniversary. It might be struggles of health. But wherever we find ourselves, there we are representatives of God. There I pray that we shine with the light of God into every situation in which we find ourselves. Not trying to control the world, not trying to bend it to our will, but rather saying, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, Lord, not mine." It's not easy to do, and it's something that we constantly need to be reminded of, constantly invited back into this participation of the building up of the kingdom of God in the way that we were meant for. I pray that God will work through us in new ways, in ways that we're comfortable with and in ways that we're not, so that we might be stretched and we might grow deeper in to the love of God, deeper into God's truth and power, deeper in relationship with the one who created all. And I truly believe that in that communion with God, in that deepest, most intimate surrender of our will to God's, we will find a joy that passes anything that we could ask or imagine. We pray that every time we end the service, that God can do more than we can ask or imagine, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. So why not just lift up our hearts to God and say, "Your servant is listening. Your will be done." Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Having heard the words of God spoken to us through Holy Scripture and through wrestling with what they might mean for us today here in this place, let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, and the life everlasting. Amen."
I invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. King of glory, your prophets sought to restore your people to be true and sure. Set your church on the firm foundation of your Son, and bless us with the riches of your grace. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. King of glory, Herod abused his position. Keep us from contempt for your ways and your people. Strengthen all who speak bravely for justice and honesty. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. King of glory, you excite our hearts with music and dancing. Fill us with joy at the life you give. Increase within us thankfulness for the creative arts. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God. King of glory, in your passion, you lift our human frailty to your divine glory. Give hope to all who endure great suffering or whose endurance is breaking. Strengthen and sustain all who are weighed down. Today in our parish family, we pray especially for Anna, Ashley, Carolyn, Dave and Beth, Eunice, Gavin, Don and Nancy, Sylvia, Catherine, David, Robert, Judy, and Helen. King of glory, John's disciples came to bury his body with dignity and love. Be alongside those who weep or mourn. Bring us all to share in the inheritance of your redemption. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We will sing praises to our God.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples And he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. Father, your word creates in us a yearning for your kingdom. Receive all we offer you this day, and keep us in your peace for the sake of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven, and we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Take.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Love.
Christ, who now beneath us feel the sun.
Let us pray. Living God, in this sacrament we have shared in your eternal kingdom. May we who have tasted this mystery forever serve you in faith, hope, and love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can be. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
everyone this morning to Bennett Brink on the cello, and of course, Kyle Wilford on the choir.